In the book of James, chapter number 1. Most Baptists treat the book of James like the plague. And they think it's contradictory. The Bible doesn't contradict itself. James chapter 1 and verse 1. James, servant of God and of the Lord Jesus, to the 12 tribes scattered abroad, greeting. My brother, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But patience, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Lord, bless your word tonight. Thank you for your word. Lord, give me the wisdom, Father, to get up here and try to teach it, preach it. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can be seated. There's a lot of controversy about who this James is. A lot of folks say he's the Lord's brother. And I have a tendency to believe that. And the book of James was, Martin Luther said he'd light his stove with James. The reason he said that is because the day 1500s that he lived, he was arguing constantly with Catholics. And the Catholics were constantly taking him to James chapter number 2. And we're going to deal with that tonight. And so he got real upset with that. Let me say this about James, folks. James is not like Colossians, for example. Hold your place in James and turn to Colossians. I'll just show you. Every book has its purpose in the Bible. Colossians chapter 1. Let's see here. Colossians 1. I want you to look at this. Verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. This is what we call theology, doctrine. This is what we deal with when we lay down what we believe about the Lord Jesus, salvation, justification, redemption. All these things that are wonderful. But the book of James is, if anything, it is a very practical book. And the book of James is kind of like the book of Ecclesiastes in the sense that if it's Solomon writing Ecclesiastes, he's talking about things as he sees them under the sun. That's the key to understanding Ecclesiastes, as he sees these things under the sun. Ecclesiastes has its place in the Bible like all the rest of them. If there ever is a book in the Bible to warn you what can happen to you in old age, if you've turned your back on God, it's Ecclesiastes. If there's a book in the Bible, though, that can tell you practical application of the way you live, the way you ought to live, and your attitude toward God, it's the book of James. James deals with three simple things: genuine religion, genuine faith, and genuine wisdom. Now, this is covered in James. Genuine religion. What is genuine religion? Chapter 1, verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. He lays down a simple principle. Here he deals with widows and orphans. And I want to tell you tonight, I want to be as nice about this as I know how. Don't mess with widows and orphans, or God will mess with you. It's that simple. Leave. If you can do anything, help the widows and the orphans. For God's got a special place in his heart for them. He says in Jeremiah 9:23-24, which is one of my favorite scriptures, "Thus saith the Lord," this is Jehovah, Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. And let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Stop right there now. Selah. Meditate on that for a moment. That he understandeth and knoweth me. I've learned a little about him in these few years I've been saved. I've learned a little bit about the Lord. And I've experienced his long suffering toward me. His graciousness toward me. Allowing me to grow in the faith and learn some things. And then as I learn more, he shows me more. But he's always been by my side, even though I might not have felt it. Even though, you know, you don't go, you're on the mountaintop shouting all the time. God's still God, and nothing changes. Let him that understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Most of the Old Testament is God trying to bring a bunch of people out of Egyptian bondage and teach them something that's going to make all the difference in their life. Give them a priesthood, a tabernacle, eventually a temple, and the priesthood was to teach them the Word of God. Many of them were illiterate. They couldn't read. And that's a terrible handicap. If you're illiterate, it's a horrible handicap. And the truth of the matter is, so many people down in the ages in Europe, down the past hundreds of years, were illiterate. They couldn't read or write. And so therefore, you're completely dependent upon what somebody else says to you. And the Roman Catholic Church, many others, based on a system like that, keep the people dependent. That's the best way to put it, dependent upon what the priest says or what the preacher says. And so it's very important. If you can read, I saw a bumper sticker the other day said, if you can read this bumper sticker, thank you, teacher. Yeah, it's a blessing to be able to read. And if you've got a Bible, thank God. Because there's a lot of people still today that don't have a Bible. They don't have a Bible, and they're real believers. They're your brothers and sisters in Christ. But there just aren't enough Bibles to go around where they live. So that's a sad thing. But the Scripture teaches us clearly that pure religion and undefiled. Now you say, well, Lord, is James telling us to do this to get saved? No, he's telling you that if you claim to know the Lord, and there's a religious nature about your soul, that something has changed you, you should love the widow and the orphan. And you should want to help them. Exodus chapter 22, verse 22 says this. Ye shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry at all to me, I will surely hear their cry. And my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with a sword. Your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. See how it works? See how it goes? Then in 2 Kings chapter 4, there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant my husband is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. You know, they had debtors' prisons. Couldn't pay your bills, they throw you in jail. How in the world they figured you're going to make the money to pay your bill, but that's what they used to do. And so, you know, this is given to us as a understanding of how the times can be so hard. God's people went through hard times. When Naomi went down to Moab, they left because of a famine in the land. Elimelech was her husband. Mahlon and Chilion, her two sons. While there, they had two wives, Ruth and Orpah. Ruth chose to come back. She chose to come back because she loved Naomi. Choices we make today, we will reap tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. It's so sad. It's so sad that you don't understand that genuine religion. This is what he's talking about. You see, James deals with things in a way that nobody else does. Now, notice what he says about genuine faith. This is what's important about this. Chapter 2, verse 18. James 2:18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Now, note carefully, show thee. See that? That's the key. I will show thee my faith by my works. Not God. He didn't say anything about showing God anything. It show thee a reciprocal understanding between the two. Verse 19. Thou believest there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. See, that's a practical thing. The devils believe and tremble. They do. I would that more people trembled. At His word, if they trembled. We're reaping the whirlwind right now in this country. Tremble. The devils, thou doest well. The devils also believe. Now, the devils believe the truth? Yes, they do. That's the truth. They've said it over again in the New Testament. We know who they are. Art thou the Holy One of God? Was that the truth? Of course it was. Art thou come to torment us before our time? Is that the truth? Yes, it is. A demon can give you the truth. He can speak the truth. And that's one of the worst types of deception there is. To give you part of the truth or a truth and then suck you in to the deception and the lie. But here's what he's saying. You believe there's one God? The devils also believe and tremble. Now, are the devils saved? No, they're not saved. But they believe the same thing you believe. Do they believe Jesus is the Son of God? Yes, they do. Yes, they do. We know who thou art, the Holy One of God. Are they saved?
No.
This is what James is trying to say. He's making a simple, profound application. I'd say most of the people, well, it used to be this way. You ask them who the Lord Jesus was, they'd say, well, He's Son of God. That was after they got drunk the night before.
Yeah. Amen.
Or while they're shacked up. That used to be, that was common in the South. Why? Sure, He's the Son of God. But were they saved? This is why James is telling you, you got to go deeper and you got to go further. Verse 20, but wilt thou know, vain man, that faith without works is dead? Vain in the sense that your faith is empty because it doesn't produce anything in your life. You got these people today, they're all over this place. Well, if you try to say that repentance is part of salvation, you're adding works. No, I'm showing you whether you really are saved or not. Because if you have no desire to repent, then you're believing like the devils do. You're believing the truth, but it's not changing you. If there is no change, if there's not enough change in you. Now, repentance doesn't come before faith. Faith produces repentance. You see, that's what's so important about this. But they misrepresent me and they'll misrepresent you or anybody else. Because they want to make it a very easy believism. God help us for some of these guys that have gone on before us that have built huge ministries on easy believism. They're going to stand before God one day. Yes, they will. Easy believism. This is what's going on here. The devils also believe. O vain man, thy faith without works is dead. Now, look at this simple illustration. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he'd offer up to Isaac his son upon the altar? Well, the Bible said he believed God and God counted it to him for righteousness. Remember that one? All right, he believes God and he takes his son and he offers him up as a sacrifice on the mountain. He took him to Moriah. Far as Abraham was concerned, Isaac was gone. Isaac was gone. It took the intervention of God and stayed his hand. But here's what he's saying. He said, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered up Isaac?
Yes.
Verse 22, seest thou how faith wrought with his works? And by works was faith made perfect.
Yes.
See the wrought with? Wrought with. In other words, they're part of each. Each is part of the other. If it's real faith, it'll produce real works. Amen. And if there's no works, then you live in fairyland. You're vain. If you have no desire to help anybody, the little babies, if you're a baby killer, and you go to Mass every Sunday, or you go to church every Sunday, and you shout all over the place, you're nothing but a lying deceiver.
Amen.
You've deceived yourself.
Amen.
If you're in the business of killing babies, the innocent ones. Saw one the other day of a little baby in its womb. You know, they're getting better with this sonar, with this, what do they call it? I never can get it right. Sonogram. They're getting better with this. And I saw one where this little thing had its thumb in its mouth, sucking its thumb. Can you kill that? Don't tell me you know anything about humanity. You're a lying deceiver. You're nothing but a killer. Sucking its thumb. Just as innocent and vulnerable. You judge a culture not by the big buildings. You don't judge it by its big banks. Here's how to judge a culture. How it treats its most vulnerable people. How it treats its old people and how it treats its babies.
Amen,
that'll tell
Amen.
You what kind of culture you've got. So he said, and the scripture was fulfilled. Abraham believed God, is imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God.
Yes.
I don't have any problem at all with what I've read from James, do you? James is not telling you that you're saved by works.
No.
He's telling you that if you are saved, you're going to have works.
Exactly.
So in verse number 24, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Note carefully, this is as we relate to each other. Does God know your heart? Sure He does. Can God read your heart? Yes. Does He know the end of the beginning? Certainly He does. You don't have to prove anything to the Lord. The Lord knows you. He knows you better than you know you. So all of this is for somebody else. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only? Likewise also is not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way?
Yes.
This fellow knows the Bible, doesn't he? And what he's doing is calling Old Testament scripture here. And he's telling you that Rahab the harlot is Rahab the harlot in the Old Testament?
Oh, yeah.
Well, of course she is. Where does she have her business place? Jericho.
Yeah.
On the walls of Jericho. She sure did. She was a prostitute. New by a lot of the new modern preachers and so forth, they like to give God the benefit and say, well, she was an innkeeper. No, she's a prostitute. But she believed. The word had come to her. It had spread like wildfire. What happened when they came out of Egypt? I mean, it spread everywhere. I mean, they carried that. They carried how that He had opened the Red Sea and they'd gone across on dry land and He judged all the gods of the Egyptians and He'd used blood to get them out of there. And they had a pillar of fire at night and a pillar of cloud at day that led them and guarded them and separated them from their enemies.
Right.
Rahab heard all of that and she said,
Oh, yeah.
I believe it.
Yeah.
And so when her opportunity came, she seized it.
Yes.
That showed she believed. See,
yes.
That's what he's talking about. Was not Rahab the harlot justified by works? When she'd received the messengers and sent them out another way, she put her life on the line. If they'd caught them, they would have hung her from the wall. No question about it. And she wouldn't have been locked up on death row for 30 years either. She'd have been gone in 24 hours. Yes. So, verse 25, Rahab. Verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now, I have no problem with that, do you?
No.
Does this contradict what he said here? Anything that the Apostle Paul taught? No. Well, there's no contradiction here. As the body without the spirit is dead. I know some good Baptists, but they ain't got nothing either. And they're dead, Christ dead and plucked up by the roots. If all you got's the spirit of man, you're dead, son. You need the Holy Ghost. That's what he's talking about here. The Holy Spirit. For as the body without the spirit is dead, in other words, your spirit, your life force, if it's gone, then you're dead. So faith without works is dead also. So you say you believe, but it doesn't cause you to help anybody, feed anybody, then there's a problem.
Yes.
Now, I love St. Jude's Hospital.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yes.
And I make no bones about it, and I don't try to hide it from anybody. And I know Danny Thomas was a Catholic, and I know all of that. But they take those little babies in there and they treat that cancer. And now they say that out of 5 children that come in there with cancer, 1 will not survive. But when they started, out of 5 children, only 1 did survive. I think it was some figure like that. And they've completely turned it. And they don't charge those people a dime. And you're red, yellow, black, and white, no difference whatsoever. They come in there and they treat those little babies and they love those little children. And the little children talk about how that, you know, what they've been through. Little babies, man. Now, what have they done? Little children. And, doesn't move you hard. If that doesn't touch a chord in your soul, there's something wrong. I love little children, folks. You ought to know that by now. I do. I love the little children. And so he said plainly, faith without works is dead. Paul said in Philippians 2:12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Amen, amen.
He didn't say work for your salvation.
No.
That's not what he said. He said work it out. In plain words, let a man examine himself to see whether he be in the faith or not. It doesn't say let a man examine himself to see if he's perfect. See, he said to examine, see if he be in the faith.
Yeah.
There's nobody perfect in here tonight. I hate to disappoint you. I'm sorry. But there's nobody perfect in this house tonight. It's that walk with God in 1 John chapter number 1. That if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. What's the purpose of the light? Neither cometh they to the light that their what? Deeds might be made manifest. That's one of the purposes of the light, is to show you. So work it out. Work it out. Make sure it's real. Then there is genuine wisdom. And I love this one. I mean, this is strong stuff. Chapter 3, verse 13. Did you know that James deals with rich people 2,000 years ago who hired people to come in and work their land and then cheated them out of their money? It's in here. It is. Boy, nothing's changed, has it? You know any rich people that have hired people to work and then they cheat them out of their money? Goes on all the time. It just tells you that people really haven't changed. Same then as there is now. Yes, James is talking about that. Howl, he said, you rich men. James chapter number 3, verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. What's the word conversation here mean? What's that mean? Not exactly. His life, his manner of life, his comportment. It's the way he lives. And he says here, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Notice carefully how James continues to say, show, 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 show. We're not showing God anything. Show's for us. See, it's for us. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. I hope you don't take pleasure in some preacher falling or some Christian falling or somebody that's fallen and you're joining with the wolf pack and you start kicking them while they're down. They may have done something worthy of falling. They may have. But you should not take pleasure in that. If you get pleasure in that, you've got a sinister side about you, real sinister. And not only that, but if you've been knocked down, if somebody comes after you to try to take what you've got, then you've really got some. You've got yourself a devil. You've got yourself a devil. Well, what are you telling us that for here in the church? I've been here 43 years. I know people. I've seen it happen. Well, who did it? I'm not going to tell you. And they're not in here tonight. But you know something? I've watched this thing. God's been good to me. He's blessed me. He has. But I've watched an awful lot of people leave out of this world in their 40s and 50s.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have. Yeah, I have. In their 40s and their 50s.
Yeah.
Some 30s. I'm not the judge, though. I'm not going to tell you just because somebody died young that was the judgment of God. No, I'm not saying that at all. The Bible tells you plainly that some of these young people, God takes them because He sees the evil ahead and He doesn't want them to go through it. He takes them from this world. So I leave that in the hands of God. He's the judge of that. But he says here, if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. He said, don't act like the world does. We don't live like they do out there. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. That's the truth. That's the truth. You ever notice how that a wildfire begins to spread? First thing you know, all kinds of innocent people get sucked into it. And a lot of people wind up paying dearly. He said, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. That's the kind of spirit we ought to have. You ought to be able to walk in the house of God and come in among God's people and walk out of a raging inferno of dog-eat-dog, lion-eating everything. They're just going at each other. And come in here and you should be able to see an entirely different spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Entirely different. And the thing that pulls us all together is the Holy Ghost, glorifying the Son. Psalm 51 says this, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." There's something about that. There's something about that that gets very deep. You know, a lot of people, they never take the blame for any of the things they do or any of the decisions they've made. They always blame somebody else. Have you ever known anybody like that? Isn't that awful? A person like that will never grow. And I'll tell you something else like that. Usually you can count, a person like that, you can count all their friends on one finger. Nobody wants to be around somebody like that. No, they don't want to be around anybody like that. Proverbs chapter number 2 and verse 1 says this, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee," see the hiding the commandments, the inward parts, the hidden part, "thou shalt make me to know, so that thou incline thine ear to wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures." Did you know just a few weeks back, somebody had buried $1 million out there somewhere in California or somewhere out in the desert, in the hills or somewhere. And people knew about it. He told them about it. And they were out there hunting night and day, falling all over the place, trying to find that money. Did you know somebody found it? Believe it or not, they found it. They found it. I think it was $1 million. They found it. And oh, how happy they were that they found it. But you wouldn't believe the people that had gone out there and hazarded their life to find that treasure. This is what James is saying about us. That there should be things of God that are so precious, that are so wonderful, that we should be hunting for them night and day to seek God. "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He's a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path." All kinds of promises. You ought to count the number of times that wisdom and wise shows up in the book of Proverbs. It's amazing. I want to read this one for you tonight. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. If you want to turn there for 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. "And the children of Issachar." Who is Issachar? One of the 12. He's one of the 12 sons of Jacob. You can go back to the book of Genesis and hear what Jacob said about Issachar. Now, note carefully. "The children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of" what? "Of the times." See that? "To know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment." I thought that's quite remarkable. How many of you understand that it's getting bad out there? How many of you realize that we've never lived in a time like this before? We never have, folks. I've never known anything that even has come close to the kind of world we're in right now. How many of you look out there and you see what's happening out there, and it fires up your soul to think the Lord might come back? He just might come back. Did you know it? He said, "If I go, I'll prepare a place for you, and I'll come again to receive you unto myself, and where I am, there you may be also. Whither I go, you know, the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And the Lord Jesus said, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I discern the times, folks. We are at a critical juncture in the history of America. This election coming up in November will not save you. Whoever goes in as president will not save you. But he that knoweth to do good, and he that knoweth to do right, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. In plain words, if you love your country and you love America, you love that good old stars and stripes, the colors, if you love this nation, what it stands for, it's not perfect. Don't even have to say that. Anybody that's got any sense knows that. But you love your country. then you better get on your knees and do some serious praying about who you ought to vote for. And you need to vote this coming November. Do some serious praying about who you vote for. I'm not going to vote for a baby killer. I'm not going to vote for somebody that saddles this nation in debt. I'm not going to vote for somebody who's going to turn around and become a Leninist Marxist and destroy the foundations of what this nation's about. I'm not going to vote for somebody who wants to get into a Green New Deal and make America pay for all the ills and woes of the world and destroy factories and jobs all over the place. I'm not going to vote for somebody who wants to do away with the police force. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to vote for him. I'm not going to do it. And there's a dozen other things. He's not my Savior.
No.
But if I got enough sense, I'll vote for somebody that's not going to work against me. In other words, Issachar knew the times. They know the times. I wish we were back in 1956.
Yeah.
I do. I do.
Amen.
I do. I wish we were back in the time like that. People went to church. They didn't have all this. But we're not there. This is 2020. 7th month. Yesterday was the seventh month, the seventh day of the month. Today's the seventh month, the eighth day of the month. July. This year's flying by. Oh, Lord Jesus, come. Come, come, come. That's the only thing that really gives you joy and hope in the face of all this mess out here. Zap! We're gone. Father, bless your word. Bless your holy word. Bless it to our hearts, our hearing, our souls. Maybe embrace what you say. Even if we don't understand all of it, who are we? Why should we be so arrogant and proud as to think that we can dissect God's word and break it down to our level? It's your word, and you'll reveal to us what you want us to know. You'll teach us, you'll lead us, you'll guide us. And we pray that in Jesus' name tonight, and for his sake I ask it. Amen. Amen.